couple of weeks ago, Microsoft said, actually, you can now buy just one single license of this. Okay. So most of us have had a license of this for a couple of weeks at this point. There are a few different types of ways you can get it, and I don't want to talk about that in a bit. But what we're going to try and do today is we're going to try and highlight some of those early features. Now, the way that I put this into context, I haven't been as excited about a piece of technology since I got my very first iPhone.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Tech for Finance podcast, which is a rebroadcast of the Grow CFO Microsoft Copilot event, where I present Microsoft Copilot alongside Ollie Deacon and Dan Wells. It's best watched on video because we do share my screen. We talk for about 20 minutes first, so Ollie and I demystify some concepts and bring everybody up to speed with what Copilot in Office is. So you're more than welcome to listen on audio. And if you want to continue listening on audio, that's fine. Just bear in mind that you won't be able to see what's going on. So if you do want to see, either use Spotify video or head over to YouTube. See you in a bit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Great to see you all today, dialing into today's session. So for those of you who haven't met before, my name is Dan Wells. I'm the founder and the CEO of the Grow CFO community. It's great to be running this event today. I can see lots of people dialing in from all around the world. Great to have you all here. So hopefully you are all here today for a very exciting session on unlocking the power of Copilot's data-driven insights. So a really hot topic out there at the moment. I've seen lots of people talking about this in a whole range of different communities. We are delighted to be covering this topic today, giving you lots of insights into the what, the how, and the why you need to be using this. So, got a great lineup for you today. So, first of all, we are joined by Ollie Deacon. So, Ollie, in case you don't know him, Ollie was previously the Microsoft Finance Director and is now a professional mentor and full-time coach. Ollie, do you want to say a few words?
Yep. Hello. Good to see you all. So I spend my time thinking about the future of finance, where our industry is going, and helping folks think about how we're going to get there. So thanks for having me today, Dan.
Great. Thank you, Ollie. Looking forward to hearing your insights. And also an AI in finance expert, Adam Shilton. I know, Adam, you've got a very strong background in both finance and technology. Adam, do you want to give a quick hello?
Yep. Hey, everyone. Great to be here. So, yeah, Adam Shilton. I spend most of my time getting lost in AI and then trying to communicate that with people, sometimes well, sometimes not so well. So hopefully today will be, well communicated. We'll see how we go.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you, Adam. So we've got lots to cover today. So we're going to dive into that shortly. Now, just before we do, very quickly, I'm always getting asked what else is coming up in Grow CFO. We do lots, but you know, people are worried they might miss something. So just a quick overview of what's happening over the next couple of weeks. So first of all, we have a few cohorts kicking off. So we have the Future CFO program for aspiring CFOs kicking off on the 28th of February. We've got the CFO program on the 9th of May and a Power BI bootcamp also starting on the 9th of May. Okay. We also have a next best practice accelerator for February. It's a Valentine's Day special on delivering your business growth plan, and then lots of other events to welcome new members, to preview some of the programs and navigating cybersecurity for finance leaders. Now, lots of you are asking about Grow CFO Premium. Can you have a trial before you commit to it? Absolutely, yes, you can. So I'll tell you more about that shortly, but that's starting on the 8th of February, running for a week, if any of you are interested in that. Also, we have a very exciting announcement. So tomorrow, we're going to share a whole load of finance software discounts that we've negotiated on your behalf with lots of leading technology vendors around the world. These are the software companies that you've all been recommending within our community channels. We're going to continue to add to this. Look out for that on email tomorrow. Okay. Now, those of you wondering about premium, just a quick overview as to what that covers. So we've got 20 on-demand finance team training courses. We've got the online self-serve version of the Future CFO program. We've got 9 on-demand CFO competency modules. We've got live and on-demand best practice accelerators. We've got exclusive member discounts on our other packages and a CFO digital range of toolkits to cover lots of your different requirements. So look out for that. You can register between the 8th and the 14th of February. So that's a bit of a heads up on what's happening over the next few weeks. Let's go back to the topic of today, Copilot. Ollie, do you want to start with telling us more about what it is?
Yeah, sure. great to have everyone. So how to think about today's session, I think. I'm going to kind of just, Adam and I are going to have a bit of a conversation about Copilot and what it is and how it works and how to think about it. It is this fantastic new technology. We will get into defining it shortly. In terms of thinking about what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to spend the first little bit of today's session just thinking a little bit, as Dan says, as what is it? How should I think about it? What can I use it for? And then we're going to get into the magic that you've all really come for. We're going to do some live demos. So we're going to take a look for kind of through a section of today on actually what can we use it for? What are some of those potential things? And then we'll finish up on how do you get it? How do you learn more about it? How do you continue to make progress with this? We will leave time at the end for a bunch of questions for Adam and myself, and we'll answer them where we can. I want to caveat by saying today, this is a newly launched product. And so we're going to be thinking today through the lens of the fact that this has only been around. So Microsoft launched this into the world sort of, 6 months ago-ish. And they started rolling out to a very small number of companies who are trialing it. A few months ago then, in sort of November time, it went live for people. If you were going to buy at least 300 licenses, so you're going to sign up for a minimum spend of $100,000 on this thing. So a big spend. And then a couple of weeks ago, Microsoft said, actually, you can now buy just one single license of this. Okay, so most of us have had a license of this for a couple of weeks at this point. Right. There are a few different types of ways you can get it, and Adam will talk about that in a bit. But what we're going to try and do today is we're going to try and highlight some of those early features. Now, the way that I put this into context, I haven't been as excited about a piece of technology since I got my very first iPhone. And this is how I'd like you to think about this. Okay. When the iPhone launched back in sort of 2007-ish, there was the initial one that came out and a few people have it. Then the next one, the second one they launched, where it really went wide scale and people started getting it. That's the first one that I got. And I remember a lot of people getting that at the time, especially when I got it. I was so excited. Oh, this is incredible. It's amazing. I got it and I played with it. And I realized it did loads of cool things, but it didn't do kind of everything I thought it might do at that time. And fast forward 10 years, this piece of kit now does incredible things, unbelievable things, but things that kind of we could have seen even at that point when smartphones were first launched, but it took a while for us to get there. And so I want you to think about today that this is that same moment, okay? We are weeks into this thing. Consider as well that Microsoft rushed this product out very, very quickly, right? They're taking the features that were from a core platform. We'll talk about how this works. And they rolled it into this product and then they launched out into the world. And so a little bit about how I want to think folks to think about today is this is the start of this journey. And now's a great time to be getting into this. Okay. What you'll find when you first go in is that, it doesn't kind of do everything that I imagined it would do incredibly well at the beginning, but we'll certainly see how this is going to grow. And we'll talk about that through the program today. And as we wrap up today, we'll talk about how to think about that coming through the coming months as well. As always, we welcome questions and stuff. Please get your questions coming in, Dan. I think people can just stick all their questions Q&A into the chat box, right? Into the Q&A box. Just let us know questions. Some questions we'll try and we'll probably, Adam and I'll do a bit of talking, but at some point I'll try and start thinking through them. We might answer some as we go along as well. All right. But with that, let's get into it and start with, so Adam, I'm so excited for this conversation. Really excited to be here today. So let's kick off with what is Copilot? Like, how do you think about defining what it is? How should people think about Copilot in the context of kind of broader AI?
Thanks. Yeah, and I'm excited too. It's really cool. I'm going to show you some really cool stuff today. Let's get cracking. So Copilot, I mean, we could take it literally, right? An assistant, yeah, somebody that can help or something that can help augment your day-to-day work, right? But if we take a step back, so November 2022, OpenAI released ChatGPT, right? And the world was set on fire as everybody, you know, sort of started delving into it as I did and thinking, oh, you know, is AI going to rule the world and all this sort of stuff? And then we got deeper into it and we soon found its limitations. Yeah, so people compared it to predictive text. You know, it's just essentially completing a sentence based on the knowledge set that it's trained on. And again, I'm dumbing it down. And the predictive text thing was from Glenn Hopper, who's great. You need to follow him if you don't follow him already. He's a really good AI in finance enthusiast. So move that forwards. Microsoft then entered into a partnership with OpenAI, and we don't have to go through all of the politics because I don't really understand, nor do I really want to understand. But it's kind of when OpenAI went from an open source platform to being a paid for platform. And again, you know, there's been all sorts of arguments whether they should have done it or not. But either way, the OpenAI models started powering some of the Microsoft software in the background. So the first iteration of that, there was a couple of things. So the first bit that was publicly available was Bing Chat. And I know we had a chat about this yesterday, Ollie. Bing Chat wasn't immediately, you know, it wasn't immediately obvious that it was an AI chat. You know, it just appeared in people's browsers. Not many people use Bing. And they were like, oh, I'm not using Bing. It's rubbish, right? And then you looked into it and you're like, oh, actually, no, I'm speaking with AI. And it's actually helping me get the results that I want quicker. And it was just using that open AI model in the background to feed the responses that you were getting. Fast forward a little bit, and Microsoft, in true Microsoft style, have not done a good job in terms of marketing and branding to clearly outline what a Copilot is, where to find it, what it does, and all of those sorts of things. But in short, they rebranded Bing Chat into Copilot. And when I share my screen, you'll see where you can access it because it's free. You know, you don't need to pay for it to access Copilot now. It's exactly the same as ChatGPT. The use cases are very similar. Argument to say that's maybe not quite as powerful as having some of the paid versions of ChatGPT, but it's still really, really good. You can now log in via your Microsoft account, which again, sometimes counters some of those data sensitivity issues. But then moving to what we're talking about today, Copilot in Office is where they've then narrowed that focus to say, instead of having a general AI chatbot that can help you with pretty much everything, i.e. writing a song, you know, or creating poems, which is what people used to do, you know, just have a laugh when it all first came out, right? But then now optimizing all of these little Copilots alongside our Office applications. So you've got Copilot in Excel, Word, PowerPoint, and now Teams and OneNote as well, which is really great to see. So they're narrowing the use cases, but that's not to say that there's only Copilot for Office. You've got GitHub Copilot, which developers are using. You've got the security Copilot, which, you know, sort of data security experts are going to start using. You've got Copilot in Power Automate, where you can essentially say, create me a workflow to achieve these ends. And it will start putting all of the triggers and all of the workflow steps in for you. So Copilot is a broad term in Microsoft terminology, relates to quite a lot. But the session today is specifically for Copilot in Office, or Microsoft 365, as technically is the correct term now, right?
Excellent. Yeah. And that's a great way to frame that. I mean, the short version for me is always thinking about just, it's ChatGPT. We're going to assume today that people know what ChatGPT is. We might have a go at defining that in just a moment. But basically, it's ChatGPT. It's like built into Microsoft Office. So you're accessing the features, the functionality of ChatGPT directly through Microsoft Office. Now, there are a few benefits of that, which we'll come to later on to think about, because some of you might have been, oh, ChatGPT, should I be using that professional way? Is it a bit scary? Is it a bit concerning? But Adam, I think it's probably worth spending just 20 seconds on how would you explain ChatGPT to your grandma?
No, an assistant that knows a lot more than you, that you can use to problem solve and support your day-to-day work. Yes, it's basically like having a person, but potentially more intelligent and less intelligent at the same time.
I love it. That's a good way of it. The simple way I often think about it is, it's kind of like Google, except it's like talking to a person. So in the way that you type something, I want to look at something, Google, and just gives you a bunch of web links, imagine instead that it just gave you an answer. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how to think about it. This is generative AI. It's a natural language AI that's been a long time in the making, but ChatGPT is around. For anyone who hasn't used this, my big thing of 2023, I'm sure Adam was exactly the same. If you are in finance, you must have had a play with this at some point. If you're on this call today and you've not used ChatGPT yet, please go. I know Dan and Steve did a really good webinar on that the other week, but again, if you haven't had a go with ChatGPT yet, please do go have a go with that. All right. let's keep going, Adam. So we thought a bit about what it is. How do you think about, and again, we are going to get to, everyone's like, come on, just show us. That we just want to set the scene first, make sure everyone's got a good sense of understanding what it is and kind of got some of that base information. What do you think, Adam, are some of the advantages of using? Because some of you might be thinking, why wouldn't I just use ChatGPT, Ollie and Adam? Like, do I need this novice? This thing is not cheap, right? Well, it's not cheap. However, how should people thinking about like the free service of ChatGPT versus using this sort of integrated into the Office platform? How should people think about the difference between those two things?
So I think managing data and giving context in ChatGPT has always been difficult. Yeah, so to get good output, you'd always have to either write a long prompt or think carefully about how you frame the context.
What the prompt, Adam?
You are a prompt, basically a question that you ask to AI. So sorry, Ollie.
No, it's good. I'm going to keep interrupting, just make sure that we're not too jargony, but it's all good. Carry on. Sorry to interrupt you.
So if I was speaking to ChatGPT and I was trying to produce a formula, yeah, or do a calculation, I'd have to say, this is my scenario. Here are my columns, here are my rows, and all that sort of stuff. And I'd have to give quite a lot of information. And some of that information could be sensitive unless you anonymized it. Yeah. Having Copilot in Excel allows it to see your data. Yeah. And there was a question from Paul in the Q&A that's come through in terms of what data is Copilot using. So it's not publicly trained. So it is your data. It's behind the fence, as it were. Yeah. So if you've got a Copilot license, it's just using your data. It's not sending it anywhere. It's not training the model. Yeah. So that's a quick answer to the question there. But now that we've got Copilot in Excel, it can see the data that you're working with without having to give that context. Yeah. It is then optimized for Excel use cases. Yeah. So it is programmed to be able to help you work with formulas. It's programmed to be able to help you produce visualizations. Yeah. Same as using Copilot in Word, you know, text, you know, help me generate text in email, help me summarize emails, you know, act as an email coach to make sure that I'm communicating effectively. So we've got narrow use cases in Office instead of having to explain ourselves all the time as we would have to do in ChatGPT.
Excellent. So, some really good thoughts there. Some thinking there, I think, especially kind of around that data piece, that it's very context specific. Mm-hmm. When we think about that work that we're doing on a day-to-day basis, right? Most of us are working in offices. It's worth saying as well that if you're not in office, if you're in, I'm going to assume most people here on this call are, but for anyone who's not, we will see equivalent AIs, I would expect, for things like Google and other things. We're going to focus very much on Microsoft today because it's broadly what people are working in and on. Mm-hmm. But within that Microsoft environment, when you're being productive, when you're doing things in that working way, we can use this assistant to help us do a lot more, being much more effective and productive in what we do. Last kind of question, I think, before, and then we'll jump on some demos in a minute or so. Broadly, what are some use cases, right? We're going to show people in a minute, but before we kind of get into a few specifics, broadly, Adam, how do you think about how people should think about Copilot, maybe today, but as well into the future as this technology gets better?
So in terms of use cases, you've got to start with the sort of work you do day to day in these different applications. Yeah. So when I'm in Word, what sorts of activities do I carry out? Do I create a board pack? You know, do I generate a report? Yeah. If I'm in Excel, what am I doing? Am I producing calculated columns, or am I visualizing? Am I doing a bit of analysis? If I'm in PowerPoint, am I creating a presentation? Am I working from a template? Yeah, or am I trying to pick apart presentation somebody else has sent me and get some insight from that data? So now, as we'll see when we go through a couple of the demos, my recommendation is that people use some of the pre-canned suggestions that you'll see pop up within the Copilot. Yeah. Don't try and apply a really complicated question like you might have been doing in ChatGPT into Copilot, because you'll probably easily confuse it. Yeah. And we can talk more about that a little bit later on if people have got questions. Yeah. But then as you start building familiarity with these tools, it's up to you to define, right, well, what problems do I have to solve, or what goals do I have to achieve, and then work the use cases back from there. Because what a lot of people get caught in the trap of is they see the shiny marketing documentation and all of the videos and they think, oh, cool, I wonder if it could do that. But then that thought, I wonder if it could do that, is that actually applicable to what you do day to day? Is it actually going to get you to a better place? Yeah, so there's definitely a gap between becoming familiar and understanding how to communicate and how to work with these applications, but not going to the point where you get caught down a rabbit hole like I often do. Work back from what you're trying to achieve and then fill in the gaps with the various tools that you have at your disposal.
Cool. So I think that's a great way to think about that. Should we get into some demos?
Yep.
All right. What order? So before we jump in, do you want to tell us, Adam, which different products are we going to be looking at today?
So we're going to look at Copilot within Office, so Outlook, Excel, Word, and PowerPoint. It's also available in OneNote and Teams, but because I'm using a personal version of Office, I haven't been using all of the WYSI stuff in, say, like the enterprise version of Teams or the business version of Teams, for example. So I just haven't gone into there, right? So if anybody wants to see the OneNote and Teams, I'm sure there's videos. We're just not going to show it today, right? But what I'm also going to do is I'll give a preview of the standalone Copilot just to demystify that thing. I'll literally spend 30 seconds just showing the URL and what it looked like before then going into Office, because I think that might be helpful to people as well.
Cool. That's great. One thing to mention, I was going to say actually, is if anyone has on the call had a go and a play with this yet, and you've got any particular use cases for it. So one of the big ones I've seen at the moment is Teams, in Teams getting it to write various meeting notes and kind of putting things together and listening in on what's happening in the meeting. If you have experience of that happening, please do stick it into the chat box and let us know how you found it useful, interesting, anything else like that to share with everyone else. But in the meantime, Adam, let's head over to you to share.
Cool. And we had a question from Sam C as well, saying, will a recording be available for later? Which it will be.
Absolutely.
Yep. So no worries on that, Sam. So let's share my screen.
Anna, I'm going to answer your question while Adam's screen comes up. Anna's asked, can the Copilot be used in SharePoint or just in the Excel file on the PC? Actually, I'm going to put a pin on that. Anna, we will come back and answer that. I was thinking it was a quick answer, but actually we'll answer that. We'll answer that fully. But Adam, over to you.
Cool. Can everybody see my screen?
I got you.
Yeah, we're all good. All right, let me just minimize so I can't see my own face. Hang on a second. There we go. Cool. So this is the standalone Copilot, free for everybody. You need to have a Microsoft account, so you need to log in with that first, but you can bookmark this URL, copilot.microsoft.com. You can see that it's using the GPT-4 or GPT-4 Turbo models, and we don't have time to explain what they are today. But this is what we were talking about previously, whereby you could ask it anything. Yeah. So write a joke, you know, all of these sorts of things. Yeah. So this is the Microsoft equivalent of ChatGPT being fed by the OpenAI language model in the background. I'm using my Edge browser as well. So anybody that's using Edge can also have that Copilot built in to the sidebar as well, which is pretty cool. What's also nice about that as well is if you are on a web page and want to ask questions about the web page, you can do that. So say, you know, give me a summary of this web page, for example. So it's really nice having that Copilot in the sidebar in Edge. Anybody who's using Google Chrome, don't worry. You know, you can still use Copilot outside of Edge, but it's nice to have some of these tools built in. And then if you are using it for writing tasks, more creative tasks, there's a little compose box here that enables you to generate AI text in the form of, you know, paragraph ideas, whatever it happens to be. Yeah. So as I say, totally free. Don't need any sort of Copilot for Office licenses to use that. Copilot.microsoft.com. Go in and have a play around. Okay.
Adam, just for 2 seconds before you come off this one, is there a single thing that you would recommend to folks would be go try it on your own to do X using this?
Yeah. So think about questions that you often ask yourself. Yeah. It could be as simple as, well, I've got I've got potentially a tricky email to write, you know, or I'm having trouble starting the bare bones of my presentation, you know, because I think our templates are a bit dated or whatever it happens to be. So use it first for that idea generation and that sort of support. Yeah. Don't first jump to asking it loads of complicated stuff about, you know, can you create a financial model for me? You know, it's probably not going to produce really good results, you know, with increased complexity, but have a play, use it for inspiration as a starting point for some of the stuff that you do every day. Just be mindful of your data and anything that's making you uncomfortable. The best rule is don't enter anything into the chat that's making you feel uncomfortable from a data sensitivity point of view. Is that okay?
Cool. And just to answer Rick's question, can you cancel the ChatGPT for subscription if you can just use it for free here?
Yes, you can do. But the thing to bear in mind is that there are some other nice things that come with the ChatGPT paid for version. So you've got the advanced data analysis that can generate Python code in the background for you. So it's really accurate when it comes to doing complex calculations because it's using Python to ensure accuracy. You don't get the same plugins. You do have plugins here, as you can see on the right in Copilot, but you don't have the ChatGPT plugins, which are really useful for connecting to stuff like Zapier or Wolfram Alpha and that sort of stuff. And then you don't have the ability to generate documentation from within this version. So in ChatGPT, you could say, generate me an Excel template with these columns and these rows. You can't do that in Copilot just yet. Yeah, so there are still advantages to using the paid version of ChatGPT. You can also upload PDFs to ChatGPT. At the moment, Copilot will only accept images, so you can't Q&A a document, so you can't analyze a PDF using Copilot, but you can analyze images if you want to. So that, there are still advantages of the paid version of ChatGPT, but there are also some really good stuff that you can do in the free version of Copilot. So if you don't use any of those use cases, you don't use plugins, you're not using any of the advanced data analysis, and you don't need to analyze documents, then yeah, you can achieve similar results with Copilot.
Excellent. All right, let's keep going.
Cool.
What's next?
So this is my personal office environment. I shouldn't really say this, but actually the bulk of my day-to-day stuff with Tech for Finance is actually done in Google and Google Workspace. So Ollie, you won't be happy to hear that.
It's all good. I am agnostic despite my background. Yep.
Which is fine. But it does mean that I can present everything today because there's no sensitive information in my tenant, apart from the planning for my brother's stag night, which we won't go into. But if anybody's wondering why that's there, that's because it's shared via my Microsoft account. Hopefully everything works today. Hopefully Ollie and I aren't sharing stories. Hey, you know, you remember that time that we presented to 1,000 CFOs and everything broke? So bear with me. You know, this isn't perfect. There are still some bugs in the Copilot. Hopefully we don't encounter any today. But let's get cracking. So this is my workspace. When you open up any of your applications, I've got them all open here. But going into email, you'll see there are some differences in what you see on screen. So immediately opening an email, we've got summary by Copilot, which is pretty cool. Great use case. You know, if you've been away on annual leave, and this is shout out to Chris College Bytes, who showed me some of the really early stage demos of Copilot. And you've got an email thread that's 30 emails long, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to get up to speed with that? You can get Copilot to summarize the email thread and bring the sort of salient points to the top for you without having to read through every single email. This one is just a dummy email. We're imagining that one of my team has sent me through a pretty detailed analysis of our month-end financials, for example. I don't want to read it, so I'm just going to click Summary by Copilot. And then it's going to generate a summary for me on the key points from that email. So it's nice working with either long email threads or long emails to get that summary there straight away. But what we can also do, and I'm not a huge fan of using AI to write emails. I'd prefer my emails to come from a person rather than an AI. But coming back to what we said previously about that generating ideas or maybe thinking in a different way, you know, or improving our communication. If I go into Draft with Copilot, you'll see that we can start with, well, what do you want the email to say? And I've got a pre-canned prompt here, just so that you don't have to see me typing all the time, that I can just punch into here. So access CFO, generate an email to the board with an exec summary of this month's financial activity. You've got little toggles here, so you can do tone. Again, you know, always rewrite and edit. Don't just get the AI to send verbatim. That's a bad idea. And then we've got length here as well. So I could say, draft me a long email in a casual tone based on this question and then generate. So it's going to create that first draft for you. And then you can come away analyze whether you think it's decent or not, and make tweaks accordingly. Yeah. Now, what you'll see when we go through these sessions is sometimes you get a response that's really quick. Sometimes you get a response that's slow. Sometimes you get an error that says, I'm sorry, we couldn't do that. But in this one, we do. Yeah, so we've got an email draft with some bullet points, with some placeholder text and so on that we can use to start that email. Okay, so if I then click keep it, what we can also do is we can use the coaching by Copilot. And that's when we get another assistant. And again, this is focusing on that assisting and augmentation rather than doing the doing for us. It's going to analyze the content of that email. It's going to come up with some suggestions on how we can make this better. Now, of course, it was generated by an AI, right? So it's going to be perfect. But we'll see actually that it is actually very critical of the draft that it produces itself. So hopefully, again, a little bit of time waiting for it to do a bit of thinking. But we might get a bit of coaching if it decides that it's going to do its thing anytime soon. We could move over to Excel whilst it's thinking about it, but we'll give it another couple of seconds. It might have been stuck in a loop. Hey, Ollie, do you remember that time that... No, I'm joking.
Sure. Well, while this is happening, I think it's a great time. Let's answer a couple of questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cecily's asked, can Copilot write minutes from a Teams meeting? Yes, it can. That's one of the best features currently of Copilot and what people are really using it for, from folks that I've heard from, that it can do a meeting summary. So what was the main actions that came out of it? Who's got follow-up things? Where was the disagreement or anything else like that? So just answering that one. All right, let's go back. Adam, over to you.
Cool. So it's done its thing. So it has come up with some suggestions. Tone is too formal and dry, typical of AI, I guess. So could we make it sound more enthusiastic? Going into reader sentiment, you know, do we need to show more recognition for the team members that we're addressing? So instead of this, try this. So we've got some suggestions there. And then on clarity, you know, it's assessing how clear it might be to somebody else that we're sending. So for me, I'd prefer to use a coach to improve the quality of my emails rather than get an AI to write the emails for me. But again, if we're struggling for inspiration, you can use the AI to create that first draft. All right. That okay? Any more questions on Outlook before we move into Excel?
We do have one question on Outlook specifically. Somebody said, I'm trying to follow along with you while you're doing it, but I missed how you got into your email. Adam, is there a special, do you have a special version of Outlook that you're using to have this? Did you have to reboot your Outlook once you've got cut out? Is there any tips, folks, on making sure that Copilot is showing up within their Outlook?
So I'm using the online version of Outlook. Yeah, so I basically just went into Outlook from my online portal, the office.com URL, to open Outlook online. Now, it should work in exactly the same way in the desktop application, but it may be, and again, I don't know whether you've downloaded the apps yet, Ollie, it may be that you need to do a fresh update of your Office apps once you've procured your Copilot licenses to make sure that that flows through. You're looking for this icon at the top of every screen, the little ring, or the little ribbon or whatever it is, that should pop up once you've procured your Copilot licensing and you've made the relevant updates to your desktop applications. But I'm using it in the online version for the time being.
I'm going to add to that out, Adam. Yes, the more complexity you've got within your product. So for example, in Excel, it doesn't like it when I open a file from my personal OneDrive.
Yep.
And try and do some Copilot in there, it gets all upset about that. So if you've got lots of different email accounts, I think open within Outlook, it might be a bit funny about that. Mm-hmm. The key thing I'd be saying at this stage is just a simple Google on your specific issue. For me, I found that just a couple of Googles were enough that for me to take to just figure out why it wasn't working. It was saying, you know, just try refreshing it and doing X, doing Y, and you should be able to get there. Again, I'm sure everyone's got their own specific challenges. It is a new product. There will be bugs. So if somebody else asked, what are the bugs that are here at the moment? I think the big one is like, sometimes it just seems to not work, not quite sure why it's working. Again, I just jump over into Google and ask why that is. All right, Adam, back to you on to our next demo.
Or you can ask Copilot, right?
We could ask Copilot. That is the meta magic of this product. You can just ask it about itself. Yeah, absolutely. But in the meantime, let's keep on going.
Right. So I'm very aware that we have hundreds of finance professionals that are probably a damn sight better in Excel than I am. So please be gentle with any of the questions that you have. I will try my absolute best, but I'm by no means an Excel pro, which is, I guess, why it's handy having a Copilot now, right? But you can see the big Copilot button in the top right of Excel. Okay. So we can bring that open and we can start querying our data. Now, just to walk you through what this data is, it's non-sensitive. We can share the link to where this data is that you can download. It's just dummy data. It's actually one of the Power BI demo sets. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's just example company data set on one of the Power BI help resources or something like that. But essentially, it shows sales, cost of goods sold across different countries and segments of a company that sells whatever they sell. But we haven't got defined products. We've just got numbers in this instance, right? None of these columns are calculated though. Yeah. So this is all just values pasted in from that dummy data. Okay. If we look at the Copilot on the right, and this is where I said previously, it might be worth just using some of the suggested starting points whilst you're getting used to what the Copilot is and the sort of stuff that it does. So simple thing, show data insights. It will look at your data and it might try and push you some information that you might not have thought about before, or might produce some insight that, you know, is difficult for you to find really quickly by yourself. So just clicking that is giving me a visualization of cost of goods sold over time, essentially. Yeah. This is not too dissimilar for Power BI users to where you'd Q&A the data or get insights in Power BI. So it's a similar sort of concept, all right? So that's a quick entry point there, but you'll see here that we can do all sorts of other stuff. So I can highlight and it will produce some suggestions for me. So bold the top 10 values of units sold, for example. It will look through the data. Just to be aware, your data has to be formatted in a table for it to understand your data. Yeah, so if you try and work on anything that is outside of a table, it's not going to work. So make sure that you insert your table beforehand. All right, so a couple of quick wins there in terms of just going, rolling with the punches, as they say, and using some of those pre-canned prompts. Now, what we do have is we've got a little book here called View Prompts, which again, are just different types of questions if you're uncomfortable with the term prompt, Ollie. But you can go here and again, it's more suggestions. Yeah. So add a column that combines or add a column to extract. So again, it's giving you a starting point and a bit of inspiration. You can then do, you know, understanding. You can then do edit, you know, filter by and all of these sorts of things. And what we're doing here is nothing that we wouldn't be able to do manually, right? At this stage with some of these more basic queries, but it is speeding up our workflow. Yeah, so there is a lot to be said for chatting to the data and instructing using a keyboard versus having to go into the table, filter, sort, add conditional formatting and all those sorts of things, right? So let's look at a couple of the I guess, cooler things that you can do past just, you know, highlighting stuff and sorting and all those sorts of things. So let me just get some of the here's ones I made earlier. So let's do this one first. So help me visualize profit by country and segment. Okay. So previously we might have to do like a pivot chart or something like that. You know, we might have to think about it, you know, whereas in fact, all we really want to do is say, right, well, I've got data in these columns, help me visualize it as fast as possible. Yeah. So we've got a visualization, profit by country and segment. And what we can do is we can click the button here that allows us to add it to a new sheet. We'll see that it then produces this as a second sheet. So it's done all of that stuff for us in the background. And then we can work from there. So I can make my chart bigger and I can continue from that point, having got to that starting point a lot quicker than I would have done doing it manually without the Copilot. All right. So that's a nice use case. Then got a couple of others. Yeah. So do higher discounts mean higher profits? Yeah. So again, we're Q&A-ing the data here. Rather than producing visualizations, it might produce a visualization, might just produce a chart. So if we ask that question, again, analyzing the data, and I think it's just going to come up with, yeah, just a bit of a table here for us. So here's a pivot table based on your prompt, add to a new sheet. And again, we can get a little bit more into the weeds. Yeah. So we can see here that actually low profit or low discounts does actually increase to higher average profits. Yeah, so again, we're teasing out some of the insight that may be a little bit more difficult to find having to do this manually. So that's useful to know because we know that, you know, low discounts prompt a higher profit than more heavily discounted items, for example. So that's nice to be able to tell that story if you ever need to present and do all of those sorts of things as well. So let's now start looking at some calculated columns. And it will come up with some suggestions. Yeah. So again, if you were to go back to your little add formula columns, you can click on that and it will start thinking about columns that you can add. But this is where the Copilot starts falling down a little bit at the moment, because it can only really see the table headings and the data in the table. Again, it doesn't really understand the context of the data. Yeah, and the problems or the insight that we're trying to solve for or work towards. So instead, I'm just going to give it a little bit more help. So help me calculate profit margin percentages by dividing profit by sales. Again, it might have worked that out by itself by just saying help me calculate profit margins, but I just want to make sure that it definitely produces the result that I want. So if we click here, it's going to work out from that instruction that what we need to do here is add another column that shows profit margin. So it's having a think. Still having to think, and it's coming up to say, right, well, here's a suggestion for the column that we can add in that then calculates that profit margin. If I hover over the insert column, it's going to give me a preview before I actually choose to insert it or not. Yeah. If that's wrong and I want to change it, I can continue the conversation to start, you know, tweaking it, modifying it. But in this instance, we can say, yeah, that's fine. We'll add profit margin percentage into the table there. All right. If I then go back to here, let's go into concatenate, if that's my correct pronunciation, we can do that as well. So we can start merging stuff. You know, again, it's a bit fiddly, you know, not everybody wants to type in formulas all the time and do the dragging and all of that sort of stuff. So I've said concatenate columns N, O, and P. And hopefully, again, it's going to do that. Yeah. So it's produced the formula for me. Again, I can hover. Yeah, it's probably not a useful metric.
This, Adam, this one is a specifically really annoying thing that we have in finance, right? Where dates are such a faff to deal with. Yeah. And we fixed that in a second, right? We didn't have to go dig it out from Google and try and look it up and just think, oh, I just can't. I'm going to do it manually today, right? Yeah. We just asked it ourselves one really quick thing and it sorted that for us. Fantastic. Yeah. That's a great example. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that I found as well is, and it comes back to the dates as well, but sometimes you want to be able to slice and dice by, you know, dates or parameters that aren't in there already. Yeah. So again, you can do this. So at the moment, we're just sort of merging data that already exists. But if we do want to prompt to add in information based on other relevant information. So in this instance, you know, I want it to very quickly just sort all of my dates into quarters. And I know you could probably do it, you know, in pivot tables and all that sort of stuff. But sometimes it's easy to do it this way. So immediately it's got that formula to say, if this, then that, insert the column. Again, we've got a little bit of a preview and then we can keep going until we have all of the data that we want. And of course, as we start producing more data in the system, you know, maybe we can start, and I've not tried this before, so I'm working on the fly. So show me insights about profit margin. And again, this wasn't part of my pre-canned demo prompts. It might come up with something. It might not come up with anything. So sales and profit margin appear to cluster into four groups with four outliers. Okay, cool. So a bit of outlier detection there, which is quite nice. Okay, so again, I didn't prepare for this. I'm just working as we go. I've added to within outliers to sheet one. Okay, fine. Where's it going? Oh, there we go. I don't know why it's not added it to a new sheet. But there we go. We've got a couple of outliers that we can potentially focus on and see what's going on there. So hopefully that kind of illustrates, you know, some of the ways that we can speed up our workflow and very quickly get to those end results without having to mess around with formulas and modify tables all the time, right? So I know what we don't have all the time in the world today, Ollie, and I know everybody probably could spend hours and hours going through all of the different prompts and all of the different stuff that we could do in Excel. But is that okay for now? I can show a bit of
that's fantastic. PowerPoint. I mean, we'll move on to a couple of the quick examples. Probably, yep. We'll have time for we'll look at the other two. I just want to say that from an Excel perspective, right? What you'll see here is, I think, as Adam said, these are things that a person could figure out how to do at the moment. However, these features and tools, this is not the final version. You can see it says right down screen preview, right? Up in the top next to Copilot, it says preview. This the features and functionality will get better and very rapidly. Microsoft, I don't know this because someone told me, but I'm very clear. They are going to be consistently making this product better. There will be a lot of competition in the marketplace. Microsoft will be consistently making this product better, better, better in the coming months. But again, what my advice is to everybody is get in early with this product. Get somebody on your team who starts to understand how it can be used, what kind of prompts we can use, and how can we start to make progress in our day-to-day work with this. But an excellent starting point. Thank you, Adam. All right, should we jump over into whichever product's next?
Yeah, we'll do Word next. The last thing, just before we switch over, is for anybody that's working in an FPA or is more of an analyst / data science mindset, I don't believe Copilot is chained to any sort of predictive algorithms in the background at this stage. So, for example, you can build Python into Excel now. As we mentioned previously, you can use some of the advanced data analysis and some of the other AI tools that are available. But I wouldn't jump straight into trying to do predictive analysis in Excel with Copilot. I don't think it's going to do it yet. It works best with the data that you do have. Yeah. And sort of molding and speeding up workflow with existing data rather than that clever predictive stuff, which is probably outside the scope of Copilot for the time being. But who knows where it will go in the next, years, months, days, we can never tell, right?
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So as you bring up the next one, I'll just answer one of the questions. Somebody asked, can we use this with Power BI? Yes, and Power Query. So not directly. So what we've seen so far is that in Excel, so the first feature is just to be able to use it with tables. And so what I would expect very much so is in the coming months is Microsoft to start rolling these feature functionality out into Power Query, Power BI. In the long term, I would very much expect that from one single point in Excel, you could direct Power Query to say, take a bunch of numbers, do something in Power Query, then load it up into Power BI and do some of these other things. That features, that functionality, not available yet, but I watch, we will be giving lots of updates of this through Grow CFO, so do watch this space. Adam, over to you on Word.
Very good. So we'll whiz through Word and PowerPoint as quickly as we can to let people sort of ask more questions in the Q&A at the end. So where's my Word? There's my Word one. There we go. Cool. So this very simple example. So act as a CFO, generating a detailed board pack to be sent ahead of your monthly board meeting. Bit of extra detail. Please produce a template that uses a combination of paragraph bullets and so on. You can read. If we then click on, and I've done it in the wrong bit here, forgot to click the little Copilot thing, put it in there and generate. And then this is kind of, I guess, akin to the ChatGPT responses where you see it writing in front of your eyes when it does actually start to do it. And again, it could be that it's, 5 o'clock, that I know the states are waking up around this time. It could have heavy server usage, but you can see it generating that template for us. Yeah. Now, this is generating from scratch. What we could do is we could also have Copilot analyze an existing template that you might already have and analyze it, make recommendations for improvement and all of these sorts of things as well. Yeah. So we can keep that absolutely fine. So it's giving me a baseline template, maybe not as detailed as I like. You probably saw the prompt that came up at the end as to whether we wanted to keep it or change it. So I could have said, it'd be nice if this was a little bit longer and so on and so forth. But either way, it's a really good baseline. What we can now do is we can highlight. And when you highlight, you can click the little Copilot. Yeah. And you can click rewrite. Yeah. And then it will come up with some suggestions on rewriting, pull things together. And then it will come up with the suggestions for how we could rewrite. So we've got two alternatives, one of two. So one or two. And then I can click in replace or insert below. Or again, I've got these little dials as well that say, right, well, that's a bit too, robotic maybe, let's do it in more of a casual tone, and then let's redraft that and just make sure that that's a little bit better and serves our audience a little bit better. As to whether the big picture is too casual, I don't know, but we could then say replace that, and then we've modified very quickly without having to think too much about how and what we want to do there. All right, but you can also do your own prompts as well. Oh well, if you get the Copilot up on the right here, this, similar to what we saw in Excel, is a means of not just writing within the document itself, but actually summarizing, making changes and asking questions. So we've just written a template there. We've made some changes, some modifications by highlighting text. I could click on summarize. It will look through the document and then it will bring through the key points. Yeah. So any long Word document that you've got that you want to summarize, you could do that as well. And then you could do a Q&A as well. Yeah. So ask a question about the doc. You can then, you know, build your prompt up, you know, ask some specific questions about the subject matter so that you can focus on that quite quickly. Saves the control F and searching for keywords and all of that sort of stuff as well. So we've got a bit of a summary there, which is cool. All right. Now, the other thing that I'll mention is, in the same way that we had some pre-suggested prompts or queries that we could ask within Excel when we click the little book, we can do the same within Word. But we've now got this little view more prompts section here. And what it will do is it will take us through to more suggestions. So again, more inspiration on what we can do and the sort of instructions that we can give Copilot. And then they've also got a Copilot lab, yeah, which is, and I don't know whether this takes in sort of queries and prompts from end users or whether it's just Microsoft pre-canned prompts, but you can then filter by category. You can sort through the app that it's most applicable to. And then again, that gives you a starting point without you having to think too much about, oh, well, how am I going to write a decent prompt, because it's there and ready to go for you. All right.
Fantastic. Adam, in terms of time, can we jump over to PowerPoint and see what we could do over there?
Yep, cool. So blank presentation. So again, get up the Copilot. And again, here's one I made earlier. So go into PowerPoint, access the CFO, producing a presentation to a group of non-finance professionals. Drop it in our little thing here, click on play. And I know you had a bit of an experiment with this earlier, didn't you, Ollie?
I did. If we have 30 seconds, I might show what I managed to create in a minute ahead of this meeting. But
there we go. So the thing to bear in mind is it tries to do a combination of text and images. You know, sometimes the images aren't always fit for purpose, but, you know, again, you can tweak and change as you go through. Yeah. So it's given some pretty decent stuff. So we've got a 10-page outline with a bit of structure based on some of the key talking points we might want to add in. But then we can also add in slides. So add in a slide about this, you know, without having to think too hard about that, you know. And then if we go into the prompt library, we could go in and say, organize this presentation into sections. Yeah. Click on enter, and what it will do is it will take those 10 slides and it will then start adding in sort of your subdividers for the different categories. So it'll add in title slides against each of the sections and so on and so forth. Yeah. So you can see here that it's split those 10 slides now into 13. So at the start of the new section, it's automatically added in that sort of placeholder slide for the second section, which in this is key financial metrics. So if you've got a pre-existing presentation that you think needs a little bit more structure, that's a really good use case for just making sure that the flow is correct and that it makes sense to your audience and all of those sorts of things, all right? The last thing that I'll mention, conscious of time, the one thing that I haven't been able to show yet, just because I think my personal version of Office doesn't allow it, is to create presentations from a Word document. Yeah, so I could say, create me a presentation from /, and it should pull up a set of files from your OneDrive or SharePoint that you can select to use as the originating text for the presentation. Because you might have a technical Word document or a wordy Word document, don't want to present the Word document, but you do want to morph it into a PowerPoint without having to start the PowerPoint from scratch. So anybody that's got access to that capability, it is in the Microsoft Help Guides on how you can repurpose documentation and use other documents as the source of your prompts. But I try and do that because that's another really useful use case for the more sort of corporate business-esque type Microsoft users rather than me and my personal stuff.
Okay. Adam, this has been fantastic. In the interest of time for today, I want to make sure that we have time for a couple of just getting some of the quick questions. We're going to do some real quick fire answers to questions in a moment. In terms of how can people get a Copilot license? What are your thoughts? What would you advise people if someone said, how do I get a Copilot license? What do I need to do?
So the personal version is called Copilot Pro. Yeah, it's what we've been using today. And that works with Microsoft Personal and Microsoft Family. Yeah, so you can see the price here for us in the UK. And then all you've got to do is click Get Copilot Pro. So even if your company isn't bought into it, you could easily create a Microsoft account, you know, under either a personal or a family edition and adding Copilot to have a play. if you want to add it to your Microsoft tenant, so your work tenant, you have to, at the moment, either have a Microsoft 365 Business Standard or a Microsoft 365 Business Premium license. Your office administrator can procure those licenses for you and add them to your tenant. That's not a problem at all. I believe they are also making it available as part of Office E3 and E5. They may have already released it as an add-on to those licenses. I'm not sure. I can't say 100%, but that's the way that you get...
There will be ways that you can buy that, your IT function. So my advice on this is get your CFO, or if you are the most senior person in your finance organization, get your IT director to agree to give you a handful of licenses to trial this in your organization. So this probably isn't a product ready yet that's for every single person in the finance team, but certainly we're looking at those first sort of 10%, those early adopters in the finance team should definitely be getting hold of a license now, starting to play with it, see what it means for their organizations. And next question is, how can I learn more about this? I'm sure people are like, wow, this is so fast. There was so much information in this. Do get the recording. Do go back. Watch it through again. Pause in some of those places. See what Adam is up to. If you would like to learn more about this, there will be much more coming in coming months. We are launching a Copilot in Excel training. So we will, as the features and functionality roll out beyond tables and into other things more broadly, we will be taking the best of what is possible to do with this and rolling it into a Copilot in Excel program. We're already starting to put some of that stuff together. But as and when those features and functionalities are there, we'll have that. We're going to be putting a taster out of that in due course, just to say in terms of what's in there so far, things you can test and start experimenting with. Keep an eye on that. Dan will be emailing more on that over the next sort of weeks, months, as we get more on that. Again, very new products, very new things being rolled out in it all the time. So do watch the space. We'll be, as much as possible, keeping folks updated on that. Let's answer some of these questions for 2 minutes. So let's see if we can see. So should we take it in turns, Adam, and see if we can find really questions that we think are most broadly? So how much is a business license? Is about £30 per user, about $30, $30 per user per month. And you do have to buy a year up front. So it's probably $300, £300. And €300 up front to get hold of one of those licenses. Adam, anything there you're seeing?
Yeah, so we've got a couple. Can Copilot be used in Excel in SharePoint or just in an Excel file on a PC? No, it can be used. That's what I've been doing today. Yeah, so I've been using cloud versions that are stored in the cloud, not a file on my PC, which is fine. Can you access through Chrome or Edge only? No, you can access through Chrome or within your desktop applications if you've updated, as we've discussed earlier. I just use Edge because it's got the Copilot sidebar, you know, the free version, you know, just to use the general AI. But yeah, you can use it in any browser. So that's a couple there.
Yeah, I saw one around. Adam, how did you do all that crazy? How did that, all that financial crazy information come from in that summary earlier on that you did in the email? That was all in the email chain, is that right? You had all that detail down in the email chain, and then you got it to write something summarizing that.
Yeah, that's it. So I sent a dummy email from a pretend member of my team, that I then got it to summarize. So that was all false data. The financial info in the draft that it created itself. Yeah, so it would be up to you to go in and just, you know, replace that information with what was more accurate representation of your financials. Yeah, so that was just dummy data.
Great. All right. I'm conscious of time. There's so many great questions. One of them is, what's better to analyze data in, Google Sheets, Copilot, or Coefficient?
I'm the wrong person.
At this stage, I would be saying Copilot is pretty nascent. That for me would be kind of the specificities of that I would check out on the internet at this stage and see how folks are thinking about that. And often the way I think about Microsoft products is they do take a bit longer to get to market than some of the other competitors. But what you will find over time is that in the end, they work so well with each other. So there was another question, can I take something in Excel and then make it into Word or PowerPoint? I would assume so at the moment. Even if you can't, that functionality will be coming very, very soon. I would expect, again, this ecosystem to grow out very, very quickly, and Microsoft to be rolling out these features as and when they become bug-free. All right, Dan, over to you to wrap for today. Anything else you want to ask us or close out on today?
Well, thank you so much, Adam and Ollie. I mean, so many great insights there. I hope everybody's been able to take lots of things away from that. And you know, as both Adam and Ollie said, please do start using it. You know, start with the basic stuff, get yourself used to it, embed it into your tech infrastructure, and then you can build upon that from over time. But I hope you've all found some really good use cases there to take it forward. Obviously, lots of different applications you can be using it in. So very, very exciting times for us all. So yeah, thank you, Adam and Ollie. We're going to, as we've said during the session, we're going to send out an email with the video recording in there. Okay, we'll put some links in there as well. If you have any follow-up questions, let us know. But as Ollie said, you know, we will be doing follow-up sessions on this. So do watch out for those as well. But thank you again. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Ollie. Have a great time, everyone, for the rest of the day. Have a good evening, and we'll see you soon.